إبراهيم، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let's try it again. إبراهيم فكير، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We seem to have lost him. Let's try and find him. Okay, this week's Asri Report, we welcome Ibrahim Fakir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nice to chat you.
Always a pleasure. Now, you know, this is a short working week, a four-day week, but political news doesn't slow down. If we go back to this past Wednesday evening, the IEC briefed a committee of parliament on the 2021 local government elections. Now, we know previously the EFF were making a big noise. They wanted the local government elections postponed from 2021 to 2024 and have all local, provincial and national elections together. The DA wanted it to go ahead. The ANC was quiet, neither here nor there, mixed messaging. But it seems like on Wednesday evening, that long meeting for about 5 hours that went right to about midnight, the Portfolio Committee and Home Affairs at Parliament, the IEC told them that the Constitution doesn't allow for the elections to be postponed. And now there are murmurings that the Minister of Home Affairs and Cooperative Governance will consult and announce a date. So is it a fait accompli, Ibrahim? Will we be having local government elections sometime this year?
Gosh, Malala, it seems as if that is the case. Because, you know, you're talking about a long five-hour meeting at Parliament. And I heard a little bit of it. I dipped in and out. And I was absolutely dismayed at the quality of input, at the preparation, at the nature of the discussions, and so on. So, you know, as you would recognize, the IEC is an independent organization of state, right? It, of course, it works in tandem with government, but it's actually independent of government, right? So its mandate is to advise, is to tell parliament, is to say what's possible. And they are saying, sure, the Constitution doesn't allow for it, and that's true. The Constitution does not, nor does the law. But the Constitution doesn't take care of every single eventuality. And I would have thought that the MPs would have reasonably had a meaningful debate about the fact that we are in the midst of a pandemic. It is a kind of state of disaster, as they repeatedly call it. There are health protocols and so on that have to be observed. And an election can potentially prove to be a super spreader event. So I thought that at least they would have talked about options which are available. It doesn't look as if they did. Basically, what you heard from the MPs or members of the committee, other than the briefing from the IEC, was major grandstanding of their respective party positions. And there is a bit of a midway, point. Now, the EFF, for once, do seem to have a point. They are saying postpone the elections. Of course, they are, as is they want, extreme, by saying go until 2024 and have all the elections in one. That's a separate debate. It's a bad idea to have all elections on one day. It's a very bad idea. But that's a separate debate. But there is a midway, there is a prudent point, and there is this concept in international jurisprudence called a doctrine of necessity. Mm. And what you would do then is that you would say, look, we're in the midst of a pandemic, right? And as we know, last year we even suspended congregational prayers, people going to church and so on. So why would you want to have a local government election in the midst of the fact that you've got a pandemic? You don't have an effective vaccine rollout, so the credibility of the government shot because it doesn't have an effective vaccine rollout, and yet you're prepared to go ahead and have an election. So invoke this doctrine of necessity. There are three conditions only which have to be satisfied. The first is you have a rationale and the reason why you postpone it, and it's clear why we're doing it, right? The second is that you would put in place a contingency measure, and that contingency measure would be to say we will extend the term of office of the current local government, poorly performing as it is, but, you know, it's necessary. And the third is that you put a time frame. So this is not going on indefinitely. It's not going to set a bad precedent in future to simply extend terms of office. It's saying because of the pandemic, because of a lack of vaccine rollout, the outlying date is we give ourselves another 6 to 8 months. And that's the limit, 6 to 8 months. To extend the current term of office, and then if we don't have an effective vaccine rollout, unfortunately we will then have to simply go ahead and have an election. So there is that option. The other option is that, look, other countries have had elections. It is possible. Local government elections, you know, are held in your municipality, so the stream of votes is a bit smaller. And then you spread it out over 2 days to make it easier to spread the numbers out. But the costs go up because you're using venues for longer, you're using staff for longer, you've got lots of health protocols and safety protocols and sanitization that you must comply with. And then, of course, there's the fears of, you know, the ballot stuffing. Will there be electoral irregularities? Is someone going to fiddle with the things overnight? So there's inherent dangers. And, you know, in our society where you've got parties who's boiling for a fight, that can easily become a flashpoint. But it is an option. But, you know, none of these things were being discussed by those MPs. They were sitting there trumping their own party positions. And so the IEC gave them the advice, and it looks like we might go ahead, but look, sense might prevail eventually, and it may be postponed. But at this moment, it seems as if it might go ahead.
All right, going back to last week Monday, General Bantola Misa, leader of the UDM, suggested that South Africa, because of the ANC's factionalism, instability and infighting, what he called comrades in corruption, should have an interim government. Now, it was very curious that as an opposition party leader, he also said that it'll give the ANC time to sort itself out and get its house in order. Is this whole idea of an interim government feasible, Ibrahim?
I don't think so, Murana. You don't just have interim governments for the sake of doing so. So what we just spoke about, right, about say extending the term of office of current municipalities for 6 to 8 months, that would be an interim arrangement. And it's justified by a necessity, and that necessity is that we're in the midst of a pandemic. There's no point going out or wanting everyone to go out to vote, right? That's some kind of interim arrangement. It's justified. You can see that there's a rationale, there's a good explanation for why, there's a time limit, you know, there's parameters around it. So it's not just some endless thing which becomes a precedent for usurping power. This proposal strikes me as odd. And I honestly thought, I wonder why people are even giving this a second thought. I mean, how absurd. In the middle of a legitimately elected government, you're suggesting that they must simply be taken out of power and some interim power and exercise of authority must be put in place. Why? Yes, obviously, the general is right about the fact that there's a major credibility crisis in the ANC. There's no doubt. And because they run the government, there's a credibility crisis in the operations of the government. That much is true. It's also true that since 2005, since in the lead up to the Polokwane conference of the ANC, the internal factionalism, the internal divisions have affected the public service also, right? So you have public servants who would undermine a minister because they perceived to come from a different faction, or they would stymie budget rollout, or they would do poor service delivery, or they would hold back the operations simply because they want to either undermine a minister because they come from a different faction, or they are being used and manipulated and abused and abusing of institutions, manipulating of process, as we heard through all through the Gupta case, all the issues emerging out at the Zondo Commission. Remember the Bataclough landing of that aeroplane by the Guptas. Again, flouting rules, manipulating institutions. All of that we know is true. But that must be catered for by the normal governance architecture, by normal oversight, not by saying, let judges take power, have some interim arrangement. Because that's almost like usurping power. And one doesn't do that in instances where there is an ordinary credibility crisis. It's not as if this government was illegitimately elected. It was fairly elected. It was freely elected. It enjoys some legitimacy. Of course, its operations are not credible. There's a major crisis. All of that we can grant. But it means that if we accept the general's logic, it means every time we're unhappy about something, we will suddenly intervene and say, no, let's just have an interim government. Let's just have an interim government. You'll be perpetually having an interim government. No. In this case, there are sufficient processes in the governance architecture, there's enough oversight mechanisms, those things have to work. And if they don't, you vote the buggers out of office. That's what ordinarily ought to happen and should happen. Not simply willy-nilly the idea that, things don't seem to work, let's give them a chance to get their house in order. What they need to do internally, that's their business. Why should we make it ours? They were elected as a government, they must operate the government. Because they're doing so badly, doesn't mean we can get rid of them. And it's also not, it's not a point like we were going through a transition, say the period 1990 to 94, when you did need a transition of the government. You had a grand societal shift. Or we're not facing an instance of insurrection or war or any kind of emergency of that nature. So the idea that you simply need an interim government, no, it's a bad idea. I was surprised that it actually got the news that it did, and I suspect it is merely the general trying to get some airtime, basically, seeking relevance. Because, look, Mona, you're going through what potentially a local government election. In the pandemic, you haven't been able to grandstand in parliament. It's hard. People need attention. Parties need attention. And there's a major realignment, as we know, going on inside the ANC, inside the EFF. So the general also has got to put up his hand and say, guys, notice me, I'm around.
Yeah. And then finally, going back to last weekend, Tony Leon did an interview with News 24 in which he disclaimed that he spoke about the former DA leader, Musi Memani, as an experiment. Predictably, social media went into a meltdown. The question is, was this taken out of context or did Tony Leon really say so? And though social media is not a reflection of attitudes and opinions in society as a whole, is there something lurking behind the manner in which social media and the types of politics it promotes seems to react to things? Which incidentally is how the reaction to Professor Adam Habib and his use of the N-word was largely determined.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, some academics have written a letter asking that Habib be reinstated immediately, and at least some kind of sense is starting to emerge. But on this Tony Leon thing, you're right. There is a parallel, Malala, that the way social media goes for this is take it out of context, make it devoid of its actual meaning, purport it to suggest something that it wasn't actually saying. Now, no love is lost, of course. Mr. Tony Leon will bear his own cross. But he was, it seems to me, the meaning of what he was saying was distorted. And I think what he was saying, as he says in his book, was that, they elected a black leader and they thought that having a black leader might either attract voters, number one. Number two, they were kind of genuine. It was a genuine attempt at transformation. And the experiment was about fast-tracking someone through the leadership ranks after, exposure at different levels of government or campaigning at different levels of government. So in that sense, any leader who's elected is some sort of experiment for all kinds of reasons, whether a woman, a person of a different demographic, etc. So, it's much ado about nothing. But isn't it curious that if you look at the way social media has come to the defense of Musi Maimane, you would have thought, where on earth were all of you when he actually did want your support? And that did need your support for all the time. He was a leader of the DA, and it almost looks as if people care so much about the DA that this became a major issue for them. Of course, there's a flip side to this, and the flip side is, black people generally feel patronized. They feel as if, they're treated as children, and Mr. Maimane was in this case. There may be some merit to this argument of paternalism and patronizing attitudes. Sure, that much is there. But doesn't it strike anyone as odd for a moment that for close on to 13, 14 years, this person happened voluntarily, one might add, to be a member of this party, pushed its policies, worked in its ranks, made it popular, and then put his hand up to say, I would like to be leader of the party. I mean, what kind of person, how do you patronize a person of that nature? So it strikes me as entirely odd. And I think it is just another case of, let's find something to make a noise about, and let's engage in this continuing process of victimology, as I would like to call it.
Ibrahim, always fascinating listening to your perspective. Shukran for your time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This week's Asri Report with Ibrahim.